Welcome to the LifeLink Church podcast. We hope you hear something that will make a difference in your everyday life. If there is anything we can do to be a bigger part of God's plan for your life, then please email us at info@lifelinkchurch.com and let us know. Now prepare your hearts to hear God's word to you today.
How y'all doing? Is this a good day or what? Man, I love what God does when his people connect together with that sense of God do something big in our hearts today, and he always does. So whether you're here in the building or whether you're worshiping online, we want to say welcome. We're really, really glad you're here. And I just have a sense for those, I was just connected with our campus pastors a moment ago and said some really neat things happening in the online campus this morning. So I want to just encourage you wherever you happen to be streaming this service from, really dig in because God's not done yet. Everyone say, God's not done yet. Come on, hit that chat up. God's not done yet. Go ahead and stay with us. So I want to just share a couple of things with you as we get started in the journey today. I'm reminded that we feel like family, and a lot of us connect in different ways, back and forth kind of through the worship journey or through the small groups or in different ways we connect relationally. And so now we feel like a family, and so I want to just say to those of you that are on the journey with us, we're grateful for your prayer and your support. If you're relatively new here and you've not had a chance to get caught up with what's going on in our family, I'll just share with you this because a couple of weeks ago I met a lady on the patio, and she was visiting from California, I think it was, and she just looked at me in my face and said, "You look exhausted." Kind of gives you that warm fuzzy, doesn't it? To be honest with you, I thought, rats, I thought I was smiling a little bit better than that. So, but let me just tell you, for those of you that are kind of in the flow of what's going on, my brother and me, our families moved my mom, Joy, and her husband, Roger, who is here today. Roger, I think I see you on the back row. Is that you? Good to have you here with us today. It's an honor to host you during the worship journey this morning. So we moved them down from Syracuse a couple of Sundays ago. My mom has been in a fight with pancreatic cancer since the summer of last year, and she decided she was going to go the divine interaction route. And so we've just been kind of on the journey with her, and she reached a spot in her physical journey where we needed to be closer to her. And since my brother's a practicing doctor and I'm a practicing pastor, and we're both practicing, and I hope it's okay if we just keep practicing. Is it okay to practice? We'll eventually get there. But anyway, since our lives were pretty rooted here, it just made more sense for them to move here for a while until we could figure out exactly how God's going to work this out. So, but we're doing a lot of overnights at their house, and so there is a lot of energy being invested in just faith. We're believing God for miracles, and many of you have provided meals, and some of you are coming over to care. And so now from our families to you, we want to say thank you for your support, your love, and kindness. I want you to know that I am in a good place. I had an opportunity to check in with our staff, I think it was last week or the week before. Some of them were just asking, how are we doing? And I said, well, let me just tell you what's really happening. Inside, where I'm walking with God spirit to spirit, I'm having a personal revival. I've never been closer to God or never felt his presence stronger. I'm in a great place on the inside. My body is really tired. And so if you're reading my face, please don't be discouraged. I'm good. I'm waiting for my face to get caught up with my spirit. But my spirit's in a good spot. So I just need a few more naps and a few more things like that, and we're going to get there. But I want you to know, please don't worry. Just stand with us in faith and just believe God for his perfect will. We're anxious to see his intervention in a big way. Amen? So I want to say that to you, just because we're family and we're in this journey together. So welcome. We're glad you're here. We're in a series on purpose, and it's important that we understand and revisit this from time to time, purpose, because now, purpose does a few things for us, and it helps, among other things, adjust perspective and things along those lines. And how many of you know perspective is important? I read something a little funny about perspective. I think I'm going to share a couple of things with you this morning just before we get started and talk about, just illustrate how important perspective is. There's a guy who said, ever since I was a child, I've always had a fear of someone being under my bed at night. I'm not going to ask if that's you, but you may be encouraged by what you're about to hear. So I went to a shrink and told him about my problem. The doctor said, just put your life in my hands for a year. Come talk to me 3 times a week and we should be able to get rid of those fears. I asked, how much do you charge? He said, $80 per visit. I said, I'll sleep on it. 6 months later, I ran into that doctor on the street and he asked, why didn't you come see me about those fears you were having? I replied, well, at $80 a visit times 3 times a week, that's over $12,000 a year. My neighbor cured me for free. I was so happy to have saved all that money, I went and bought a truck. He said, is that so? With a bit of an attitude. How, may I ask, did your neighbor cure you? Well, he told me, cut the legs off my bed. Ain't nobody under there now. Sometimes it's just the way you look at it, right? Just kind of see things from a different perspective and it kind of changes your outlook. One more. You guys got one more in you? God said, I ate a salad for dinner. Mostly croutons and tomatoes. Really, just one big round crouton covered by tomato sauce, cheese, and pepperoni. Fine, it was a pizza. Something about perspective that's just really important. So, well, speaking of perspective, God has got something he wants to do in our hearts this morning. So I hope you're ready to hear what God has to say to you. I know that God's already been stirring our hearts this morning. God's been stirring me in some things, and I feel like I could leave now, but I don't want to because I'm always excited to hear how he moves through every step of the journey, not just through singing and giving, but when we connect with him in his word, because he is his word. Romans 12:2 says he actually brings transformation when we step into his presence that way, and he changes how we think and renews our mind, and things just change. So, but don't assume that we're going to get there. Let's decide to connect with him with this intention. All right, let's do that in prayer. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. You are a good God. And as we explore who you are and how you have created life to be lived, we ask, God, that you would encounter us not just by the written syllables of your scripture, but the personal power of your presence in who you are as your word. We open our mind to you and ask that you would transform us into new people by changing the way we think. Today, you have something you want to do, and you've got our full attention. So we thank you for it in advance. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. I do want to encourage you to get your Bible app out, or your Bible, or your notebook, or something, to be ready to hear what God talks to you about. Because he will. He's always talking. He's always talking. And we're better when we listen and hear. Amen. Hey, guys, can we get just a touch more lights? Pastor Chris, I don't know if we can get a little more auditorium lights, but I'm asking people to take notes, and so if we could get just a teeny bit more lighting in here, that'd be awesome. Purpose. Everyone say purpose. It's important to understand purpose in the journey of life. Purpose answers questions. Purpose in ways projects outcomes. It helps gives us a trajectory of expectation. Purpose is a really big part of how God works in our life. He doesn't just allow us to meander aimlessly around. Everything he does is with intention and design and purpose. Purpose actually empowers us to function with authority and conviction when we know our purpose and we understand who God is and how he works in us. It gives us the ability then to step out into the connection with who he is on purpose and then step with that authority and watch God do great things. If we don't have purpose, then we feel like we're just making stuff up. Amen? So it's one of the reasons why we're walking through this particular spring as we're doing this, because Jesus talked to us at the beginning of this year out of Matthew chapter 6. So let's look at this together. Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 through 33 says this, therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after these things the Gentiles seek. In other words, a godless pursuit in life is all designed about how do we get and how do we become and how do we achieve and how do we arrive and how do we possess and how do we get these things, as if life is defined by these things. I know. I'm so excited. Hey, babies are great. Listen, I have a 2-year-old, which is why Pastor Sheree's not here this morning with us. Baby girl, I know you and Sweets are at home. I know, and it's okay. We have a 2-year-old, and well, she's 2.5 now, and she was not having it last night. She was all congested, and so she was making sure everybody in the house was up. I guess she thought if I'm going to be up, no, ain't nobody else going to be sleeping either. So Pastor Sheree took one for the team, and she stayed up with her all night so I could sleep and be ready for you today. So, honey, we miss you today, and we're praying for strength for you. And get a little nap if you can when Sweets goes down. But the Gentiles, the godless people, seek after those things as if they defined life. But Jesus went on to say, your heavenly Father knows that you need things like that in life. But he said, this is how it works. Verse 33 says this, Jesus saying this, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So a godless approach to things in life is whatever we want, we go right at it. We pursue it. And we think if we get it, it'll satisfy whatever it is that motivated us to want that to begin with. Jesus is saying, here's how the kingdom of God actually does work. If you seek the kingdom of God first and his righteousness, everything you need for fullness in life is actually added to you if you pursue the kingdom of God first. So this year, that is our theme. God, we want to seek your kingdom first. We want to seek your kingdom first. In other words, there's a prescription through which I'm going to be looking this year in order to see what you want me to see. These are glasses, everyone. They need to be cleaned now that I'm looking at them up close. It's kind of embarrassing, but pretend I didn't say that. Without these glasses, I see blobs. But there is a prescription that my eye doctor has measured my eyes with to say, if you put these glasses on, you'll be able to see correctly. And you can drive without running into things. You can fly airplanes without crashing. You can do all kinds of things if you put these glasses on. If you don't, it's just a roll of the dice before you run into something. Right? So if I put these lenses on, ta-da, I can see you. And my, you look great. And this morning, as we're looking at this passage of Scripture, you're maybe thinking, Pastor Dave, we've looked at that Scripture almost every week from the beginning of the year. And it's because that's the prescription that we're looking at this year. God's showing us something this year as a congregation, and it's sequenced and it's ordered and it's timed with something he wants to do in this region, but more importantly, he wants to do in you, and he wants to do through you in this region. So that's why, as a congregation, we're just saying, we're going to pursue God in how he's leading us. As Jesus, as the song says, take the wheel. In other words, you drive, I'm going to go. I can't sing the song. I hope it's a good song. I don't know all the lyrics of that song, but I like that phrase, Jesus, take the wheel. You know, he actually tells the truth. It's challenging in a way to kind of get our mind around that. If we seek the kingdom of God first, then how does he add all those other things when really what I want is that? But as it is with God, he never requires us to understand how he works. He never requires us to understand the mechanics of the way his kingdom works because he's God. What he does invite us to do is just trust him, follow him. And if we follow him, he takes us where he wants us to go. But sometimes it takes the decision to switch our perspective of how we've always looked at something and be willing to look at it from a fresh perspective again. How many of you know it's important to read the Bible? A lot of times we read the Bible with the idea we want to study the Bible. But I heard a man say it this way one time, and it really shifted a focus for me, and that is this. I don't read the Bible to study it. I read the Bible so it studies me. I want God to work in me So I need to know him in his word. I need to know him in his ways. I need to know him in relationship and all that's underwritten by his word. But there's a little shift in mindset that makes it more effective for me if I open the scripture and say, Lord, as I read, would you study me today? In other words, would you show me what's in line and what's out of line? Why? Because I don't want more of the same harder this year. I want your kingdom first. And I'm willing to shift and I'm willing to change. I'm willing to grow. There's an interesting scripture in Luke chapter 2, verse 52. It's not in your notes. I'm just going to throw it out here because it feels like it's a good spot to put it in. I don't know if you've ever connected the idea on this, but the scripture says that Jesus grew in wisdom, stature, and favor with God and favor with man. The sequence of timing in this was the illustration of when he was a child, he grew in these things. But think about this. Jesus, who is God in human form, actually demonstrated that we grow. And I don't know how all that works together. It's just an interesting verse. But I want to say to you today, this morning, that you're probably not everywhere you need to be yet. Is that fair to say? At least I'm not. Now, I probably shouldn't project this on you, but I'm telling you, I'm not everywhere I want to be yet. I want to keep growing in my understanding of who he is. I want to grow in the depth of my relationship with him. I want to grow in my understanding of how his kingdom works. Why? Because Jesus is going to show us as we grow through this year, pursuing his kingdom first, that there are some things that we actually can shift our perspective in. Really, it's him shifting our understanding that allow us to access who he is in the flow of his kingdom in more meaningful, more effective ways. And I believe God wants to do something in our region that is just amazing. I want to be a part of it. How many want to be a part of what God's doing out here? I don't want to be on the sideline watching it, measuring it and appraising it, evaluating it, saying, oh, I think that's good. You can have all the evaluations you want. I just want in. I want on the field, give me the ball, coach. I want to run the play. I want to see it happen. I want to be the guy on the field making it work, right? You can be in the stands if you want, but it won't be very long before you want to be on the field too. And that's what I think God's doing for everybody this year. Jesus started his ministry with the phrase, repent for the kingdom of God is at hand. When it was time for him to step into the flow of his ministry phase, he actually opened his ministry teaching and preaching with this phrase. Mark chapter 1, verses 9 through 15. I'm just going to read this for you, and I'm going to pull out a couple of things as we explore what purpose is in this particular series we're in. Mark chapter 1, verse 9 says this, and it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Verse 10, and immediately coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. Verse 11, then a voice came from heaven and said, you are my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Verse 12, immediately the Spirit, I love how Mark gets right to the point. If you're familiar with the sequence of how this works in the rest of the Gospels, you'll see there's nuance here, there's other comments, there's observations, there's things that are happening. Mark is like, this happened, then this happened, then this happened, then bam, 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 and here we go. So sometimes I like Mark's style. Other times I like to be the highly nuanced style. Today, I want to get right into it with Mark. Verse 13, and he was there in the wilderness for 40 days, tempted by Satan, and was with wild beasts, and the angels ministered to him. So all those things that happened, he just went right by that. Verse 14 says this, now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, verse 15, saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Then he said these three words, repent and believe in the gospel. Repent and believe in the gospel. I grew up Pentecostal, and I'm really, really grateful for my roots. Give me a second here. No church is like a Pentecostal church, at least like the churches I grew up in. They were extremely exciting to be in as a kid. I never wanted to miss church. You never knew what you were going to see. I saw the greatest, I saw the power of God on display. I saw the funniest stuff. It was awesome. I just love what God was doing at church when I was a kid. Those services were long. I told you a minute ago, probably be here for about 90 minutes today. Listen, the songs weren't even done in 90 minutes in the churches I grew up in. I mean, they just let the kids nap under the pews while the adults just kind of kept going. It was awesome. But in the flow of all these things, one of the nuance experiences of the church, the type of church I grew up in, was repent had an overtone to it. It's like, repent, you sinner! Ah! And it had, and you, the preacher could shake his voice real good, and you could just feel the flames of hell licking the ankles of your boots. It was awesome. I don't know if you grew up in a church like that. Some of you did, because I felt you shiver just a minute ago when I said that. So anyway. And repent does have an element of remorse when we actually see the holiness and righteousness of God and the contrast and compare of what sin does and what it is in our life and all the things that go with that. And we feel the moral remorse of sin. And that's all good and correct and right. But in my childhood approach to understanding repentance, that's all it meant was just cry about your sin and ask God to forgive you, and cry about your sin and ask God to forgive you, and cry about your sin and ask God to forgive you. And that's, there's an element of starting in there, but repent really means far much more than that. In fact, repent in a big picture way means, in addition to remorse of sin that brought you to that place of turning, turn your heart, turn around, be willing to change what you think about that. It's an element of change, not just remorse. And the reason I'm pointing that out is this. Most Christians repent enough to get forgiveness, but not enough to see the kingdom. So we want forgiveness. Don't get me wrong. Forgiveness is appropriate. It's right. And we definitely want that. Everyone say, I want that. But it's like, if this is sin and this is Jesus in the kingdom, and I hear I'm facing sin and Jesus is saying, hey, David, repent. It's not enough to say, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. What I want to say is, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. I'm changing my mind. I'm coming your way. I want to see you and step into what you have. So I want to start by saying, forgive me for my sins. But Lord, I want to finish by saying, I want to step into what you're leading me into. So I want to encourage you this morning to be willing to let God actually do a little bit of rearranging in your thinking when it comes to the issue of who he is and how his kingdom works in our lives. Because Jesus paid for far more than behavior modification when he died on Calvary's cross to pay for our sins. He did far more than that. But a lot of times, the way we introduce people to Christianity is say, Jesus paid for your sins, ask him to forgive your sins, you'll be born again, and then let's start working on your behavior. But Jesus is like saying, hey, I want you to understand something. He did say to the woman caught in adultery, don't sin anymore. Don't go that way. So it's not that sin is okay, but he wants to understand the issue of what he offered us is not simply the forgiveness of sin so we get to die and go to heaven when we eventually die. All that's true, but he says, while you're here, I have something far bigger I want you to actually facilitate, and that is I want you to step into my kingdom and let my kingdom actually flow through you and reshift and reshape the flow of what's going on around you. I want my kingdom on display in your life. See, it's one thing to be born again. It's another thing to get the way of the king and his kingdom working in the way we think and how we do life. Let me say that again. It's one thing, to be born again. But it's another thing to get the way of the king and his kingdom at work in our life. So God's not just looking for squeaky clean Christians. That's hard to say fast. He's not just looking for people who've learned how to stop sinning so that we can actually be good little Christian robots and make everybody go, oh, isn't that sweet? No, he's looking for people who step into the flow of his kingdom and display his awesome power at work through their lives. Matthew chapter 6, verses 7 through 10. We know this is the model prayer that Jesus taught his disciples how to pray with. I'm going to read a portion of this. It says that when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they'll be heard for their many repetitions. In other words, they think they're going to get answers to prayer just because they prayed them perfectly over and over and over and over. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. Verse 9, in this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Listen to the next phrase. Your kingdom come, your will be done, where? On earth as it is in heaven. On earth as it is in heaven. So when it comes to me being born again, the idea is not, Lord, forgive me for my sins, and how do I avoid sinning? As if that's enough. The issue is, now that I'm in relationship with you, how do I step into what you've invited me into in the flow of your kingdom so your kingdom is actually on display in my life? Jesus said, Matthew chapter 6, 33, seek first the what? Kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then everything else is added to you. What his whole point is, he said, I want you to lead your life by the passionate pursuit of my kingdom. Don't think of it as a convenient add-on or a little fire insurance policy so you can live however you want to live and basically go to heaven instead of hell at the end of your life. I want you to actually shift the way you live, say, welcome me into your heart and into your life, and then spend the rest of your life actually passionately pursuing the kingdom of God moving in you and moving through you on display for others around you. Y'all still good? I don't know exactly where you are, but I'll tell you where I'm at. I would rather pursue his kingdom than try to figure out how to not sin. I'd rather just step into the kingdom of God, flow through the power of God, let the power of God move through me, the kingdom of God flow in my life and flow through me. I'd rather live on purpose than by trying. I'd rather live offensively. Isn't that a better way to say that? Maybe that's a better way to say it. I'd rather live on offense. I don't want to dig in and just try to avoid evil. I'd rather step into what God's called me to do and run the ball down the field and take territory for the kingdom of God. That's who we're called to. And that's who you are, by the way. Let me just speak to your spirit directly. That's who you are. You're created in the image of God. You're created so that the word of God actually resounds and resonates in your spirit easily. You're created so that in relationship with him, the anointing of the Holy Spirit can come upon you and you can do extraordinary things in line with his kingdom. You're created to want that. You're pre-wired for that. Which is why just surfing life's pleasures and going for the things as if the American dream is what you're really wired to do is such an empty taste. You're wired for the kingdom of God. Got a few more minutes in you? Okay, good. Let me give you a couple of practical things Jesus did and said so that as we're letting God refocus the lenses of our intent this year by pursuing his kingdom first, that we can get some practical stuff, because it's not enough just to want to. Eventually, we have to know how to. And we didn't know how to. So let me give you a couple of practical things. John chapter 5, verse 19 says this. Jesus answered them and he said, most assuredly I say, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. Now watch this. For whatever he, the Father, does, the Son also does in like manner. This is several sermons all at one time, but let me just go right to the bottom line. Jesus is saying, I'm not here doing what I'm doing with my divinity on display. I'm here as the Son of Man. I'm here in human form. And what you see me doing is not by my own divine power. It's by the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit moving on me. So you know how that you can follow and live by my example. Now, Jesus was at one time, he was 100% God and 100% human. It's called the hypostatic union in theological terms. But he was both all at one time. But the scripture said very clearly he emptied himself of his divine nature and left that in heaven. When he came to be born on earth, he actually did that, and he functioned in this life like you and I function, which is why when he defeated temptation, he defeated sin, he defeated darkness, he did not do it by his own divine power as if it was his deity, the nature of his deity doing that. He did that in his humanity. I don't know if you've ever connected the dots on this either, but the contest is not darkness against God. There is no contest. God could say one syllable and darkness would just dissolve. The issue is not God against the devil. There is no contest. That Satan and his whole demonic kingdom is all created beings. They're not gods. That's not where the contest is. The challenge is to let the people he made in his image, people, actually begin to work the works of his kingdom in the earth through the relationship they have with God, pushing darkness back through that relationship and the kingdom on display in their life. So when Jesus said, I don't do what I'm doing based on my own desire, he said, put that scripture back up real quick. John 5:19. Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father doing, and whatever he does, the Father does, the Son also does in like manner. So let me just give you a little dress up of what that would look like. So Jesus walks into a circumstance, and he, by the function of the ministry of the Holy Spirit that was flowing in him, said, Father, what are you doing here? And when he saw what the Father was doing, he knew what to do. Oh, you're healing this young girl. You're raising this girl from the dead. Okay, that's what we're doing. Now I know what to do. Do y'all see what I'm saying? The scripture goes on to say, I've got to finish the sermon because some of you are starting to check out on me. John chapter 12, verse 49 through 50 says this, for I have not spoken of my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave a command what I should say and what I should speak. Verse 50 says, and now that his command is everlasting life, therefore what I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak. What's he saying? The things you see me doing is what I see the Father doing. The words you hear me saying, that's what the Father's saying. What's he saying? Here's how you live, facilitating the kingdom of God. You walk into a situation and you say, Father, what are we doing here? That's what you're doing? Okay, that's what we're going to do. Hey, Father, what are you saying about this situation, this conversation that I'm in? What are the words that you want said here? Okay, that's what you're saying. Here's what I'm going to say. What am I saying? A practical approach to pursuing the kingdom of God is to learn how God works in circumstances. Now, obviously, you have to read your scriptures. You got to spend time in prayer. Familiarity with the Holy Spirit and how that works in our life. But instead of just trying to figure out how to be good little Christians all week long, instead of that, let's say, hey, we're going to pursue the kingdom of God this week. So this morning, Monday morning, when I get up and open my scriptures and say, God, meet me there. I'm going to read till I hear you talk, and then I'm going to write that down. We're going to talk a little bit about what you want me to do today. Then when I go to work, I'm going to walk in my work, and I'm going to put my kingdom glasses on and say, God, what are we doing here today? What do you want done? And then just imagine how God would respond to every conversation you're in. How would he treat the customer that you're serving? How would he deal with the person you're talking to? Do y'all see that? And say, God, give me by the power of the Holy Spirit the ability to see what you're doing and hear what you're saying. Why? Because if I can hear what you're saying, I'll know how to respond. If I can see what you're doing, I'll know what to say. I'll know what to do. gates 11 o'clock. I promise you'd be done at 11. Okay, hey guys, I've got a few more things I'll share. I'll pick it up next week, and we'll start right where we left off, and we're going to finish this next week because I don't want to abuse you, but I do want to challenge you this week. Let's pursue the kingdom of God this week. Jesus gave us that directive this year as a congregation. Seek me and my kingdom first, and my righteousness, and I'm going to add all these things. I have no idea all that God is going to do this year, but I do know this: He's going to do miracles. Because when the kingdom of light walks into dark circumstances, darkness just has to flee. When the power of God walks into circumstances, the confusion is reigning. All of a sudden, truth and illumination starts to show up. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. Amen. All right, well, listen, let me pray for you, because I could just go on, but I don't want to. I think we're going to pause right here. Practically speaking, this week, pursue God, His kingdom. And just get used to that phrase: God, what are you doing? Father, what are you doing in this situation? Show me what you're doing. And then have the courage to step into that and say, hey, this is what I think God wants done here. God, what are you saying here? Well, this is how you want me to respond. Trust Him. All right, got it in you? Okay, let me pray. Father, thank you for your faithfulness. You're a good God. We thank you, God, that your presence is powerfully here. And God, you're doing extraordinarily profoundly exciting things in our journey. I thank you, God, that as we pursue you through the weeks of this year, God, that we're watching you open an understanding to who you are in bigger and broader ways. And God, you're challenging us as your people to step into extraordinary acts of obedience, really with courage and strength that comes from who you are, empowering us to do so by the Holy Spirit. Now thank you, Lord, for who you are and how you're working in this moment. I'm asking, God, that you would give people that are here in this auditorium and those that are worshiping online that are far from you and know they're not right in right relationship with you, the courage to say yes to starting a brand new relationship with you. Give you thanks for it. Now let me just do this. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, let me just offer to lead those of you that are in this building or those of you that are worshiping with us online. If you know you're not right with God and you're ready to say yes to Jesus Christ, a relationship with Him that changed your life forever, I'm going to lead this congregation in a life-change prayer. It's a biblical prayer of repentance. And I'm going to ask that you'd be willing to say yes to the Lordship of Christ, to yield and surrender to His Lordship. Right wherever you are, right there. I don't know where you're at, but I do know this: God's doing something big in your life. So I want to encourage you to have the courage to say yes to Him. If that's you, whether you're streaming online or here in this building, let's pray this prayer together. Heavenly Father, come on everyone, Heavenly Father, thank you for loving me enough to tell me the truth in your scripture. Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross to pay for my sins. I'm asking you to wash me and cleanse me, forgive me, and make me brand new. Today, I'm giving my whole life to you. I've decided to follow you, no turning back. Holy Spirit, come into my heart, into my life. Fill me with strength and power to follow the Lordship of Christ for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you are blessed by God's word. For more information, visit lifelinkchurch.com.